Sports Radio 94 WIP, this is the morning show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today. This is amazing. Credit to Buzz and Vonnie here. During the break, they tracked down this play, John, where you whiffed on Dion. I still have not seen the video yet.
It's awesome.
But I got to check this out.
You got to see it. It's really funny.
Is it as bad as John kind of described it?
It's bad.
Yes.
I'm just now thinking back. There are a lot of plays that I can think of, that I remember, that are so cringy, and I'm afraid to ever acknowledge I did them. You know, like this. I didn't realize, man, we have this technology now where these things can actually be tracked down to this degree. You know,
I love that you were laughing at it, though.
Dan,
you were,
yeah, it's so bad. It is so bad. But you know, again, I was unblocked. I was completely unblocked. I should have been able to just tackle this dude one-on-one.
Yeah, that's...
And it's. I came... You'll see. I came nowhere close. Nowhere close. And it was almost as if, to me, to my perception, on this hot day that felt like it was 145 degrees and humid in Irving, Texas, it felt to me like Deion Sanders teleported. Clearly, he did not teleport on this video, but in my eyes, I must have closed my eyes. I must have closed my eyes right before I threw, which is what they say. Like, when you're the first guy down, you try to make that tackle, you throw, like, you dive. And I dove, and I came. I was so far from him. You'll see on the video. I end up trying to reach again with my hand, like as grasping, like I'm a creature from the Black Lagoon or something. As he's nowhere near me.
Are the bad plays a lot more vivid to you looking back than like
Absolutely.
The great plays?
They stick out.
That's always the way it
is. There's another one. I know that I talked about it. There was a photo of Junior Seau just destroying me, where a high pass over the middle.
He destroyed a lot of people.
Yeah,
John. I wouldn't take that too personally.
He rocked me, you know, like hit me right as the ball arrived. But my body went, you know, completely parallel to the ground, and so it looked ferocious.
Yeah.
I remember I couldn't chew right for like a month after that, and it hurt so bad. But I walked into NFL Films. This was after I retired playing because I was doing some like NFL Europe games broadcasting from their headquarters there in Mount Laurel. And I walked up to the second floor. This was a few years after I'd retired. And there, not life size, this is bigger than life size, is a mural. A mural. Not just a tiny little photo preserved for posterity. A mural, like twice life size, of Junior Seau hitting me, and I'm parallel to the ground.
Wow.
And the ball's flying out.
Yeah.
And it looks so ferocious and awesome if you're a Chargers fan.
It's just amazing that they're the ones that stick out, because I'm sure you had a ton of great plays. Like, I only played in high school, but I remember all the bad plays more than the great plays. I mean, there were a lot more of the bad plays.
Well, you kind of remember both.
Yeah.
But the ones that, for some reason, the ones that really stick with you most, I do feel like it's like probably 2-1 bad to good.
Okay, there you go. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Talking a lot about the Sixers today, ESPN.com. Rhea, please help me out again. I keep messing up this guy's name.
Hold on. I got it. I just have to look at it right here.
Yeah.
Dotun Akintoye.
Dotun Akintoye.
Yes.
With the piece on ESPN.com.
I believe he's Nigerian.
Yes.
So.
Regarding Joel Embiid and the Sixers, and who do you place more blame on when you look back at this era? That's what we've been talking about today. And I mean, discussed it earlier with this piece, is you will come out of this, if you have preconceived opinions, you'll come out of it feeling stronger about your case. Like, if you think the Sixers doomed Joel Embiid's career, I'm sure you'll read this and he'll come out of it thinking that even more. I mean, they talked about early in his career. Reeves mentioned it during the updates. Apparently, an intern was the one overseeing Joel Embiid's recovery process. They still had disagreements this year about his injury and how to proceed. So I'm sure you'll look at it that way. If you are down on Joel Embiid, you'll probably read this piece, and you'll come out of it thinking, well, Joel Embiid, look at all the things that he's done wrong. Look at the way he never got to the point he needed to take care of himself. You'll feel stronger about that. And it's really one of those things. It's in the eye of the beholder. I think there's blame to be placed on both sides. But in the end, I do put a lot more, maybe not a lot more, but I put more on Embiid, especially in the last couple of years. And I wanted to mention another piece of this real quick, because Embiid's asked about the more recent history, and especially what went down with James Harden. And it says, Embiid speaks of Harden with deep affection. He thinks the 76ers gave up too quickly on that iteration of the team after Game 7 against Boston. He says, I kept coming back to the continuity. When you feel like you have something, instead of building up upon it, you start over. And it's been like that every single year. I always told myself, I'll never be responsible for someone losing their job or getting traded or getting fired. So don't ask me about if we should sign a player or if we should trade anybody.
Did Harden demand to be traded?
Well, yes. After the Sixers had picked up his option.
He said Morey lied to him.
Right. Well, he was under the impression, I guess, that he was going to opt out and he'd get signed to the full extension here, which the Sixers rightfully did not do.
I agree with that.
But this is the problem that I have with you all here. Like, you can't go out the way that you guys went out in Game 7, where, let's face it, we all watched the game, and Embiid and Harden both quit. Like, they both quit in Game 7 mm-hmm. in Boston after not coming through in Game 6. You can't do that and have the history that you have in the postseason, James Harden have the history that he has in the postseason, and expect your fans to be excited about running that crew back. So whether Embiid wanted that or not, you got to come through, or else changes are going to be made. That's pro sports.
Unfortunately, it feels like when I read this article, and I'm still reading it in our breaks, it feels like his experience here in Philadelphia cemented and exacerbated the bad habits that were forming, you know, along the way, unfortunately. And it feels like just from the team trying to give him more like what he wanted in light of what NBA is now, you know, like it's teams who feel like they are player pleasers. You know, they need to try to lure guys to their attractive destination town because that's how it works now, where super teams form. This is all part of what broke Joel Embiid and why we can't trust that Joel Embiid will come back from, man, a nebulous knee injury that, once again, we don't really even know exactly what we're dealing with.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where I think what Joel kind of struggles to reckon with here is the responsibility that he bears as a star player. Like, as a star player, you're going to get the credit and you're going to get the blame. And I feel like he is accepting fully of all the credit that he receives, and rightfully so, when the team succeeds, but he doesn't want that blame when they fail. What are you looking at? You got that video?
It's a shame. The video is one thing. John Runyon is telling me that the photo, the life size, and then some mural of myself getting like completely blown up and cut in half by Junior Seau,
yes,
is still there, third floor, right outside the IT department.
Let me see that.
Right outside the IT department. I need to see this photo.
Oh, I don't have the photo.
I thought you had the photo.
I don't have the photo. Right, well, no, look, the photo in question, the photo that we're talking about, I started getting my friends who I went to college with, from San Diego, who I went to school with at Stanford, he sent me the cover of the San Diego phone book.
Okay.
Because it was that picture of the San Diego phone book. Millions of San Diegans, that's the thing that they saw every single day. Remember once upon a time when everyone had a phone book.
Yeah. John, I got one delivered last week.
Wow.
I was stunned.
That's crazy.
And it's not as big as it used to be, but I'm like, why am I getting a phone book?
Yeah, I didn't think they still made phone books.
I got one delivered in my mailbox.
That's not waste of paper. Once upon a time, you actually used the
phone
book.
All the time.
Oh, yeah. Time, it was in the drawer of every single person in that city. San Diego, the drawer that they opened up with the phone book in it had me getting completely just decapitated.
It made me feel so old yesterday, like talking about phone books, stuff like that. I was explaining to my son yesterday, like what the internet is and how I didn't have the, like, when I was a kid, I'm like, you couldn't just type things in
and
your phone.
And he's had an iPad since the day he was born.
He's like, well, how'd you find out anything? Like, how'd you, you know, look stuff up?
Right. I'm like,
you had to read.
Walk.
You had to read a book.
The library. Or,
yeah. Ride my bike to the library.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And check out books. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Talking about checking out books.
Yeah.
Check. That's a thing.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
Still is not as much. 215-592-9494. Want to get on the Sixers. Do you blame more the Sixers or Joel Embiid? You're welcome to. Side topic today. Give us somebody that's multi-talented. And if you want to weigh in on John Ritchie supporting Joe to camera or his lack of support for Joe, you're welcome to. I'm a little disappointed. I felt like we were making some progress. I felt like I was breaking through to you but I feel like the wall is back up today, John.
Here's the thing.
And you're not as open to supporting Joe as you were by the end of the show yesterday.
Why? Okay. Joe knows that I'm not supportive of his belief that he's a better athlete than Jack Fritz.
And I think the fact that you don't support him breaks his heart. I believe that.
Oh, really?
Oh, I do. Okay. Now,
do you, I do.
This is ridiculous.
I think Joe is more emotional than you guys do.
Mm-hmm. I think Joe is completely practical. And I think if Joe wanted support for the baseball event, I think Joe probably would have scheduled the baseball event a different time than when my family and I were on vacation. Do you agree with that?
I mean, we got to do these events at some point, John. I mean, he's on vacation this week. Mm-hmm. If we
I'm going to miss it next week, probably.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get it done. I don't know. I'm sure he loves you, but we can't do everything on your time.
If it mattered to him, it would have been probably a thing that he wanted me to be supportive of him at. It would have been at a different time.
Well, maybe if you demonstrated that support, he would have taken you more into account.
That, of course, that's the thing. It's just not set up this way. What you should not try to insert your belief system into what we've got going on here. Joe's belief system.
Wow, you're telling me keep my nose out of your business.
Well, no, Joe is manipulating you and how you view all of this. Joe, and he's effectively doing it.
No.
I don't think so. A sympathetic figure in your eyes, where in my eyes, it's pompous to believe that you are the dominant physical specimen between you and a kid who's 16 years your junior.
I just think what the afternoon show's doing is wrong, and you need to rally by Joe. You need to rally behind Joe. Rhea, you gave me 11% yesterday. What do you think the chances are now that I get John by the end of the show tomorrow?
It's dropped. Yeah, it's dropped.
The wall is back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6%?
Yeah, oh, I'm around 6%.
Not great. We'll continue to work on John. Let us know if you think John needs to be more supportive of Joe. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Stephen Woolgrove. What's up, Steve?
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
What's up, Steve?
Listen, Richie Rich, TK, did you ever see Richie Rich's high school football stats, Mechanicsburg high school football stats?
He had? Cumberland Valley.
Or Cumberland, yeah, but I'm saying, did TK, did you ever see any of his stats?
I didn't. I'm sure they were pretty good, though.
They were good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, we were good.
You were great, dude. Those high school stats
are
phenomenal. So you talking about getting crushed by some great people, dude, you're too humble.
Oh.
I think that's the problem with Joe, John. You're such a humble person, and Joe is not a humble person.
I can't debate that. Joe is absolutely not humble.
That's, yeah. Okay, that you're right. I do have a real problem with that.
But he's being very humble with this competition.
It's fake.
No. All right. It's authentic.
Richie. Okay, so after the competition.
Are you crying? Tom's crying right now, Steve.
My contact lens is messing
whatever.
Right now.
Seriously. Something that you said really upset Tom.
No, it's you.
Talkative
John.
Tom.
It's you. It's bringing a tear to my eye.
What are you bawling for?
It's bringing
for?
A tear to my eye that you won't support Joe.
Sad.
That's upsetting me right now.
No. He's a tough guy. He's from Upper Moreland.
That's
he's
right. That's
he's
right, Steve.
Don't worry about TK. He
just toss the contact on the ground if you're a tough guy.
I have
guy.
A hard contact lens. I don't have backup. What do you got on the Sixers there, Steve?
Who has hard contact
really?
Anymore, man?
Yeah.
This is
terrible.
Like, it's not 1972.
Exactly.
It's awful.
It's not 1972,
they not,
man.
They are
go
not comfortable.
Some,
why do you wear them?
Because it's the only way it'll
doctor,
fix my
man.
Eyes. I need the hard contacts.
No way.
What, do you have astigmatism?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay,
everyone has astigmatism.
Not everyone has astigmatism.
Well, why don't you talk to my eye doctor,
most
then?
People have astigmatism. I think your eye
most
doctor is
don't
antiquated.
Have astigmatism.
His eye doctor
now you're making
is,
things up.
You're right. I might be.
And most I'm, people
and
have
I am
astigmatism.
Not an eye doctor. Not
and
an
now,
eye doctor.
Thanks for violating my HIPAA rights.
I did have eye surgery when I was 5.
Okay.
And then I had eye surgery again when I was 25. And then I did go to an eye doctor and I got glasses. So I do have some eye familiarity with stuff.
Well, there you go. Steve, what do you got on the Sixers?
But before that, TK, so Richie Rich,
mm-hmm.
when this competition is over and Joe defeats Jack, will you then acknowledge, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Congratulations, Joe.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, but I can't imagine that would happen in a million years. I will be startled, shocked for, yeah, ever.
You know, I know you're a great guy, and I just hope, you know, when I know when I'm wrong, I admit it, but look, everybody's different.
Yeah, and no, I think...
It, thanks, Steve.
Does that get me to where you will stop telling me I need to be supportive if I say when it's done, if he gets beaten, wait, if he beats Jack, I can say, congratulations, I was wrong. I did not think that you would be able to do this.
No, when it's over, no. The point is you need to be supportive now.
Why?
Just congratulating him when it's over, that doesn't do anything.
Why?
Because this is Showbert, the afternoon show has come at the integrity of your show, of your co-host, your co-worker, your producer. I mean, you and Seltzer are very close. They were so disrespectful
I heard the
to
thing
James.
With Seltzer. That was
that
bad.
Was terrible.
That was bad.
And you can't
do
you know
really
get on
feel,
board.
Do you really feel like heartbroken over that? Like they're sort of
so
like
I'm just crying about it.
They're taunting.
Yeah.
They're
taunting
like
James.
Intentionally
nice.
Taunting and you're falling for that.
Well, it makes me sad, John.
Don't you feel small, like minded that they're taking advantage of your like natural tendencies? Like you're falling
no.
into their trap.
Oh no, I don't think I'm falling into their trap.
They're dangling like here you go, Tom, and you're just going snap.
You're
snap.
You're falling.
Snap,
you're falling.
Snap.
I wish people could
snap.
Check out
snap.
On YouTube this snapping motion.
You know, they're
no,
dangling. They're dangling the
meat afternoon
right here,
show.
And you're going jump. Jump.
The afternoon
jump. And
show.
And they're laughing and they're like, ha ha, look at Tom.
Is
he's
mocking
jumping and
you.
Jumping and jumping.
They are mocking your show every day and you're not doing anything about it. And I think
well,
that's
I,
sad.
I don't hear it. So it well, really doesn't bother me.
You heard it yesterday. Let's go to Gary in Vineland. What's up, Gary?
What's going on?
Hi, Gary. What's up?
How do you go Deion Sanders and not go baseball? He was in the World Series. He batted over 500 in the World Series. They flew him on a jet from a football game to a baseball game. It was like everybody talked about.
Yeah, I mentioned when the guy called
yeah,
in, I
know.
Mentioned that he played baseball.
I couldn't believe that.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy
yeah, that was the whole point, Gary. Yeah, that he played both sports.
He could do it all. And now he's a great coach, and kids really seem to respond.
He's fascinating. The first year, I didn't really care for him, but I watch him. I watch the games. He's way over the top. And I think he hurt his son's draft selection.
Definitely.
But I think he's a really fascinating figure.
It's incredible. You know, you hear now in Cleveland, at least I don't know what's going to happen with all that. They got four guys competing for that starting job. Yeah. But Shedeur Sanders, like, sounds like he might be the best of the four.
Well, they've got Flacco, who's like, what, 40?
Yeah, yeah. And they drafted I don't understand why they draft him and Dylan Gabriel. That makes no sense, to draft two rookies. What do you got on the Sixers, Gary?
I'm just so tired of this woe is me. Oh, there was an intern. My son plays high school football. If he doesn't like the workouts that they're doing, he goes on YouTube. He researches. This guy, it's just nonstop. And missing the point. The point not was who leaked the story, Joel. The point was that you aren't going to put the effort in. I'm just so tired of them.
Yeah. No, I hear you, Gary. What do you got for our side topic today?
How about Doornbos, football player?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, John Doornbos.
Have you ever seen him do it live?
I have not.
It's insane. You don't, like, you can't believe people can do this kind of stuff.
Yeah. No.
We did it we were at Del Frisco's one night. It was part of a charity thing. And he started to, you know, went out to dinner with a bunch of people who bid on it, raise money for charity. And he started doing the magic at the table with just the people around the table. By the time he was done, there was like a audience of 50 people standing around just fascinated by what he did. It was wild.
Yeah. Certainly incredibly talented. Be in the NFL and be a professional magician, that's a lot of talent.
And, you know, he also lied on his tape to get into college.
Right, right.
He faked somebody else that it was him.
And then, like, self-taught himself, right?
Yes, correct.
That's a pretty incredible story right there. That long snapping, it's not as easy as it looks. 215-592-9494. But I think Gary kind of, I think, read that story the way I read it, where it's not that there are not valid claims that Joel Embiid makes, but I think when we have the history we've had with him, like, I kind of read it the same way, where a lot of it just felt like more excuse making and more rationalizations for why, you know, he's not wrong and why the team is where they are. And that's the part of it that's frustrating. And again, of all the things in there, I think the most frustrating thing to me was, you know, his response to what happened during the season and Maxey calling him out is the fact that he still doesn't get that was wrong. And he doesn't seem to have any regrets whatsoever about going to the Olympics. And I mean, the fact that he doesn't understand that was the wrong decision is kind of crazy, too.
I think thematically, we need to examine something something that I found really interesting. The idea of Joel putting money out and leaving it out almost to test those around him.
Yeah.
The Dotun Akuntuye says he sort of decoded that it was being done to him.
Right. Now, let's just explain for the audience who hasn't read it. Now, Joel Embiid would leave money out in his house when people would come and go so he could see who he could trust and who he couldn't.
He would leave it scattered everywhere.
Yeah.
And this author, the reporter, I'm not sure what we're calling him, said, hey, why don't you clean that up? You know, why don't you clean the money up? It would, you know, be neater and you wouldn't have to worry about people taking it from you. And then Joel sort of looked at him like, and they almost laughed because it was basically to test whether he, the author of this article, was trustworthy enough for Joel to sort of, you know, allow that layer of protection to, you know, be peeled back. You know, like, he has these tests,
right,
whether he realizes it or not, that he sets up for people in his lives. Trust is a really huge issue here, and the organization itself, he lost his trust in the organization when with all the injuries and all the problems and things where, you know, he thought they were not having his best interest in mind.
Well, let me ask you this, John. As a professional athlete, from that standpoint, like, because in the NBA especially, when you're the star player, you kind of got to be the leader, too. That's what comes with the job. When you look at things like that, and you are, I guess, distrustful of people, and you're unwilling to kind of connect in that way, does that make it, at the pro sports level especially, like, impossible to be a true leader when you isolate yourself like that?
I think it makes it a lot harder. Yeah. I think that, you know, reading this article, it made me realize Joel is so much more at fault than I, you know, wanted to admit. But the organization and just the situation is also, the organization is at fault. The situation is so at fault for Joel growing into this.
Right.
The NBA is so at fault for the way it has become a breeding ground for exactly what we're talking about here. Guys doing what they want to do and then fans and cities being upset that that doesn't adhere to the same, you know, timeline or the same itinerary that we have in mind for our team.
And another part of it, too, like, Joel Embiid is obviously he's a very smart guy. Like, I definitely think he's a really intelligent person.
Speaks like five languages.
Yeah. Like, he's an extremely smart guy. And that's why, like, some of this stuff, and one moment I'll always go back to in his career, when it comes to leadership. And I am far from one to defend Ben Simmons. I was as down on Simmons when, you know, he was holding out and doing what he was doing as anybody else. But I do think, like, after that Hawks series, I was so disappointed in Embiid in the immediate aftermath of Game 7. Because if you remember, like, he's asked in the locker room about the game. And he's asked where the game turned. And I'll never forget the way he answered the question. Because he's talking about it and he says where the game really turned. And then he, like, stops for a couple seconds. And I think he knew what he was about to do. And he's like, oh, well, the game turned when essentially Ben didn't dunk the ball.
Which it did.
Right, it did. But you just don't. You don't do that to a teammate, you know what I mean? Like, especially in that moment when Simmons, obviously, right or wrong, is going through it mentally. I never thought that was a very good thing of Joel Embiid
to
do.
Not a great leadership
as a leader.
Moment.
Yeah. So I think those are the kind of things that he never really matured past. Let's
well,
go.
That was a foolish move. That was an immature move, but a move that, holy cow, I certainly would find it hard not to point the finger in that situation.
But I'll tell you
like
what,
I
man,
totally understand why he wanted to say, man, you saw it just like I did. The guy's afraid to shoot.
But
the guy won't even dunk it.
He was brutal in that game 7 too.
Oh,
like he was
yeah.
terrible in that game 7. He was terrible in the game 5 when they blew the 26-point lead. They lost game 4 when they were up 2-1 in the series because he went 0-for-12 in the second half. So that's the thing. Like, I'm not defending Ben Simmons, but Joel Embiid, just there was enough accountability to go around in that series where he didn't do his part either. Let's go to Dave in Collegeville. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How are you? First time caller, long time listener.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Dave.
I'm going to jump right into it because I have so much to say about, like, I love basketball, so this is, like, the topic that I, like, need to talk about. I don't know. I'm, like, 50-50 split, honestly, on both. I feel like you can easily say, like, if you're mad, like you guys were saying about Embiid, you can go that way, or the Sixers. I mean, like, first Embiid, like, you know, first and foremost, like, you know, throughout his career, I feel like he started picking up basketball when he was, like, 17, right?
So, yeah, it was
you
late.
Know, I mean, even there, like, you know, he's a young kid, like, coming into the league, into money he hasn't seen before, all of that. So that ties into his paranoia. Also, you know, development with the Sixers, not going to lie, like, organization has not been great in, you know, really developing players throughout all the years. Even their picks have sucked, so that's hard too. But at the same time, it's just like every time I see that man on the court, like one time I'm like, holy crap, he's the best player out there. Or the other time it's like, dude, why are you just sitting out at the three-point line and not driving when you're 7'2", you have so much in your bag, and you're not utilizing any of that. Like, you're just settling. So it is so frustrating watching him throughout the years, because sometimes I'm like, oh, we're going to make it all the way. And then he just, like, it just seems like he's lazy. So I don't know if that's, is that on him, or is, do you think if he's at a different organization, like, would they develop him better than the Sixers have throughout, like, their track record of years of, like, things like that? Like, it's hard to say, because I do put a lot of blame into him. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's hard to look at the Sixers when you're, like, the process starts with him, then you go Jahlil Okafor, what, Markelle Fultz is in there. Mm-hmm. You get rid of Mikal Bridges that you have there. You know, you draft Furkan Korkmaz, you know, who was nothing. And I think the main quote that really sticks to me for the organization in a nutshell is when, you know, the famous quote, Tobias over me. And I think that really sticks with me. I think that you have a guy in Jimmy Butler that you get rid of, and then subsequent years in game time, game six, 2 points in that series from Tobias Harris. Next year, 0 points in the playoff series. So, you know, it's really hard for me to say, like, objectively, like, I think I'm more tired of Embiid. He needs to go. His time here has been done. But at the same time, like, I just think the Sixers, like, development has just been atrocious.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point, Dave. Do you have an answer for our side topic of somebody who's multi-talented?
Yeah, I'd say Donald Glover, Childish Gambino. You know, he was an actor, singer, songwriter, you know. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Yeah, so. That's great one. That's a good one. Donald Glover, musician and actor. And I think Dave kind of encapsulated it well there with Embiid. Is just because it seems the question we're asking today is, you know, who do you blame more, the Sixers or Embiid? It seems so simple, but it's really not an easy question to answer. Like, even throughout the course of the show, I feel like I keep going back and forth.
I've dunked on Embiid for years. But yeah. This organization is a dumpster fire.
Because I thought Embiid, and then he goes through all the moves, and it's like, well, he's kind of right.
Yeah. I literally have to wonder if another organization had drafted him, how much different it would have been for him.
Yeah, it's really...
Not to excuse blame from him, but that team, my goodness.
Yeah, it's really, really hard to kind of decode exactly how it would have gone. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 1 hour left for us. You want to get in on the Sixers, the Joel Embiid article. Who do you place more blame on, the Sixers or Embiid? You're welcome to get in on that. We have Times Yours coming up at 945, 215-238-4500. How you get in for Times Yours. And in the next segment, life advice with TK. So you want to get on that. You are welcome to send over your life advice questions, and we'll try to answer them in the next segment. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera. This is The Morning Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hey.